This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I'm Helen Farmer. Fantastic to have you with us on the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Some great experts helping you out across a whole range of topics. Asking, is your dog being a bit of a naughty boy? Ilse joining us from the German Veterinary Clinic, answering all of your questions to do with animal behaviour. We were having a special gardening clinic with Mohammed from My Farm. So how does your garden grow? Ignite running a series of events in October to raise money for breast cancer. So get your diaries at the ready. And what can we expect from the 27th season of Global Village on the entertainment front? The director joined us live.
You're listening to Pets and Vets on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With ProPlan, where the number one ingredient is always high-quality salmon, lamb, turkey and chicken.
It is all about your animals this afternoon. And speaking to us from the German Vet Clinic is Ilse Farou. She is here as companion animal trainer and a certified fear-free professional. I love the sound of this, Ilse. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Helen. I'm well, thanks, and you? Thank you for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. Now, I hope you've had your afternoon coffee, because it's going to be a busy one. This is really by pure demand over the last couple of weeks. We've noticed an awful lot of listeners getting in touch with behavioural problems relating to dogs in particular. And I just wondered what you've noticed when you're working with clients and when people are coming into the clinic. What are some of the most common issues that UA pet owners are facing at the moment on the behaviour front?
Well, one of kind of UAE specific is, of course, during the summer months, our dogs just don't have as many behavioral outlets as they want, as they would if they would go on walks, or, you know, take them to the beach or take them out with us. Another one that is quite common is what we refer to as reactivity to other dogs. You know, there has been some research suggesting that due to COVID, quite a lot of these kind of inverted commas COVID puppies just didn't have, you know, adequate exposure and learned coping skills during their critical development period.
We've seen this in children as well. but that socialization piece, which is exactly that familiarity of, you know, passing someone on a pavement and saying good morning and letting the dogs have a little sniff and be around each other, pets of different shapes and sizes and behaviors, and they're just not getting that exposure.
Absolutely. And you know, so and it's not just, you know, in terms of people and other animals. It's also just in terms of learning to cope in life in general. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of there's also been a little bit of an increase, I would say, in separation related distress. So as owners were working from home and due to lockdowns, and now people returning back to work, you know, especially these puppies, unfortunately, they, you know, weren't taught coping skills and coping mechanisms to be on their own.
And unfortunately, what that results in is behaviours that stress out the owners. And I don't say that easily. I had a really emotional voice note from my best friend who is in the UK, and they got a Ridgeback during lockdown, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, getting an enormous dog. And she's really overwhelmed. She's got three kids, including, you know, a newborn and an enormous dog that requires an awful lot of exercise. And she says, you know, people behave really quite negatively towards him when they're walking him. And she's like, I would never rehome this animal. It's a terrible example for the children, but it's just an added layer of stress in her life. And I think that's, unfortunately, a position quite a few people have found themselves in, thinking, oh, great, you know, we're going to be at home or we'll get a dog, and not really thinking about the long reaching impact that has on family life and on finances, on furniture. And I guess that's where you come in to offer some advice.
Yes. So absolutely. I think a very big part of what we do, and what myself and Dr. Katrin as a team does, is, you know, we have to look at the bigger picture. We have to look at the relationship and the welfare of both the guardians as well as the dog. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as we would like our entire world to revolve around them, unfortunately, it's not possible. So it is that fine line about ensuring the dog's welfare as well as ensuring the guardians and the family's welfare.
Absolutely. And that can be through all sorts of behaviours we're going to be addressing. We've got so many messages for you this afternoon, Ilse. So do stay with us. We've had questions about chewing, about pooing, about barking. And up next, via Instagram, Julie's been in touch saying, my 9-month-old pup wakes up at 4:20 every single morning. Despite plenty of exercise and being well fed, why is he doing this? We're going to come to your message up next.
This is Pets and Vets on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With ProPlan, groundbreaking science, life-changing nutrition.
We are helping you out with the behaviour of your pets. And when I say we, I definitely don't mean me. I mean the expert of the hour. Ilse are joining us from the gym and vet clinic. She's a companion animal trainer and a certified fear-free professional as well. So any questions relating to what your animals are up to that you'd maybe rather they didn't do, get in touch. That question could very well win you a fantastic goodie bag from Purina Pro Plan. Let's go to the text line. In fact, this came through on Instagram from Julie saying, my 9-month-old pup wakes up at 4:20 a.m. every day, despite plenty of exercise and being well fed. Why is he doing this? Oh, ouch.
That is not fun.
No.
Okay, so... most of what I'll be discussing, you know, in terms of the questions, a little disclaimer, a lot of it depends. Every dog is an individual. There's unfortunately no clear cut. Oh, here is a little magic wand, little magic trick to do, and the problem's going to be solved. I would recommend, you know, so that pup, 9 months, they're straight in the middle of adolescence. A lot is going on with dogs during that age. They're growing, they get growth spurts, their brain is going from a little puppy brain into an adult dog brain. And there's quite a lot also from a physiological level that is happening. We do know with research that, you know, bone growth is still happening. So there could be, you know, some pain potentially associated with it. If you kind of think of like growth spurts with kids and people. It also depends on what the routine is. You know, we might think exercising our dogs tires them out, but the more you exercise the dog, the fitter they get. So it also depends on the kind of activities that the pup is doing during the day. And also, you know, keep a log. Are they actually resting enough during the day? Mm-hmm. So there's quite a lot at play. There isn't necessarily, unfortunately, I don't have a magic answer. But the best would be is to keep a little bit of a dog log and think about other activities to do to drain that pup's energy.
Mental
we don't
and
just
physical.
Want to do yeah. exactly. We don't just want to do cardiovascular because then you're going to sit with a very, very fit pup. So, you know, look at enrichment toys, puzzle feeders, you know, maybe have a look at doing some trick training. Definitely when you take your dog, and this might potentially come up a little bit today, is when you take your dog out for a walk, sniffy walks. It's your dog's walk. Let them sniff, let them explore. They're getting all of the stimulation and information. It's almost like reading a book for them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like reading the news or watching Netflix when they're outside and having a sniff, right? They're reading their P-mail and that kind of thing, you know, so it really drains them. So we don't always just want to think about, oh, I'm going to toss a ball, you know, over and over and over again, or let my dog just run on the beach. It really is about the kind of exercise that we do.
Could it also be how they're reacting at 4:20 in the morning? Could it be, oh, you're up, you come in for a cuddle, or here's a treat to keep you quiet, and they're getting lots of attention, which then they crave again at 4:20 the next morning?
It depends on the reinforcement history and, you know, what is the motivator for that 4:20, you know. It would be interesting to find out what, you know, kind of historically the routine and the pattern of that pup was, you know, also taking into consideration were they maybe spayed, were they neutered, you know. So there's quite a lot at play.
We've got questions.
In terms of that. Yeah, so you know, there's unfortunately not a hard and fast rule or motivation as to why that pup is doing it. There is quite a lot. So I would recommend, you know,
having
further investigation, Yes.
For the good of your shut eye there, Julie, you need to be asking some questions with some professionals. But we have got many questions to be addressing over the course of this hour. So please do not hesitate to get in touch. We've got Lola, a 16-week-old adorable Cocker Spaniel who is growling a lot. We've also got a rescue who's been through quite a number of homes and seems to be doing lots of guarding behaviour and chewing as well. And a message here saying, please remind listeners of the importance of neutering your pets. We were talking about this just last week, especially regarding cats, for their own, well, health and mental well-being as well. It's something we touch on the show an awful lot. And if you do have any questions relating to spaying, please don't hesitate to get in touch. We have Pets and Vets every single Wednesday afternoon between 4 and 5. We also have some amazing photos as well. Pitten and Squeaks, Natasha sent in. She's got her lovely, her words, fat cat who can't stop eating. I'm wondering if that's something that we can be helping with this afternoon.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
I don't want to jinx it, but it was 29 degrees when I did school drop-off this morning. Temperatures creeping down, and maybe that needs me to turn our attention to our gardens. And if you need some advice when it comes to growing, planting, herbs, veggies and more, we've got an expert at hand. Mohammed Aisoui is the CEO of My Farm, a fifth generation of farmers in his family. So if you've got any questions for him, and many of you reaching out, needing a bit of advice at cultivating some green fingers, get in touch now. Usual channels apply. And don't forget, I'd love to see photos of your gardens, of your balconies, whether it's something you're proud of or something you're worried about, and you can send them through on the WhatsApp. Mohammed, how are you?
Hi, Elaine. How are you?
I am well, thank you. We've spoken about this before. I am useless at growing, but we have over the summer been able to cling on to some basil, and that's about it.
That's great.
What's happening at my farm at the minute? And for anyone who's not familiar with it, can you explain a little bit about what it is that you do?
So we try to grow a community, actually. We are not like thinking only to build a farm. We try to push people to come, understand how to grow in a desert environment, push those limits, understand how works the seeds, how work our ecosystem, mm-hmm. use it actually, because it works well. Sometimes you don't need pesticides, you only use a ladybug. Ladybugs are going to eat hundreds of aphids per day. So you don't need to use those kind of heavy chemicals.
You use what you kind of term as low tech and new tech. What does that mean?
So I was born in a farm in the south of France, and my grandfather, he was a farmer. And the way he was working in the farm is completely different now. I became an engineer. And I try to use the new technologies which are safe for us and the environment as well. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't want to use the same technique, like use the pipe and go and give water to each plant. We can use a technology for that, actually. We can control the humidity, control the irrigation system, control the temperature and everything without to disturb that much the ecosystem.
And it's interesting when we think about this part of the world, you know, you coming from south of France and then here now in the desert, thinking about, well, What's possible, and that's changed an awful lot over the last couple of years as well. What are you growing at the moment on my farm? Because we might be surprised.
Yes, we started the story My Farm 5 years ago with 150 varieties from my family. But now we reach in the bank, in the seed bank, we have up more than 1,500 varieties.
Wow.
So those seeds are not coming from me now. They're coming from you. Mm. So people visiting the farm, the chefs, kids, people coming from everywhere, they just bring seeds from their village, from their culture as well, and they tell us how this one is growing in the city, how they cook it, the way to cook and everything. So we spray again the story of each. So each seed have a story. We got have herbs for the tea. We do have fruits, strawberries. We manage to grow passion fruits, pineapples,
wow.
banana, papaya. The list is huge, I
oh
told
my
you.
Goodness.
More than 1,500 varieties.
Now, I've got a TV recommendation, and you have admitted that you don't watch a lot of TV.
Not at all.
I promise this is worth it. It is a movie, it's about an hour and a half, and it is called The Biggest Little Farm. And it's a documentary, and it's about a couple called Molly and John who decide to take over about 200 acres outside of Los Angeles. And it is barren. And what you see over the documentary is about 7 years of them, you know, they want to they want it to thrive naturally. And you just, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. What you see is how the animals they introduce, the plants that they grow, all start to work and support each other. So, for example, they get completely overrun with snails, and then they discover that the ducks eat snails, and the ducks get through about 90,000 snails, and it's exactly. Just the most beautiful thing. So that's your homework.
Exactly. That's, we should work with the ecosystem. So that's why we want to create the food for our animals, use the waste in the compost, use the compost to feed the soil feed the plant feed us and the animals again.
There you go. Please report back. The Biggest Little Farm, we bought it on Apple. It's about an hour and a half, and it's a real feel-good show. It's brilliant and beautifully shot because the husband was a National Geographic cameraman, so just gorgeous. To the text line. Omar saying, I've got a small balcony space for the first time, and I'm trying to make it into a small nursery. Would love some beginner tips. So let's talk about easy things to grow, Mo.
The most important thing is to start from the soil. You need to, if you have a potting soil on knee, that's not enough. Most of the nurseries here, they sell you the potting soil, and the potting soil is going to build the soil but not feed the plant. So you need to find the right compost to blend with it and use this blend. Usually we can put 1/3 sand, 1/3 potting soil, and it depends on the compost quality, but almost 1/3 compost as well.
Now, this is the one thing I feel smug about when we talk about gardening. We do have a compost bin. But for people who don't compost themselves, how can you get hold of it?
So we are in partnership with the Waste Lab as well. And those girls are doing a crazy project. And they want to help you much better than us. Why? Because we do 600 cubic meters of compost per year. That's a huge, but once you go to a small scale, that's a completely different, because in a big scale, doing compost is really easy for us. You increase the heat of the waste quickly. Mm-hmm. When you do a small scale, that's a bit different. So those ladies are the best for you to support you. If you have space, if you don't, they're going to collect the waste for you and treat it on the land and send it back to you once the compost is ready.
It is thewastelab.com, women-owned, Dubai-based, impact-driven, as they say. So trying to make sure every food scrap becomes a solution, I suppose, rather than a burden. Hope that helps. So you got to start with the soil. And then in terms of easy things to grow for people that want to see, you know, and there's something very pleasing for kids as well, to see it come up fast, to be able to grow your own food quickly. Where are we going to get that instant gratification from?
So the easiest things to grow, unfortunately, it's a radish.
I like radish. What you mean. I love a radish.
So radish, you can plant, sow the seeds and get this first harvest after months. And that's easy. Even if the soil is not really well balanced, it's going to grow. Even sand can do the job.
Okay. We'll have a glut of radishes. Send them my way. I'll merrily pickle them.
But a lot of things as well. You can grow luffa. The luffa is really strong. It's like a zucchini. If you harvest it young, you can cook it like a zucchini. It's much better taste.
Really?
There is so many plants that you can start to grow quickly. But I suggest you to start from the herbs, all those kind of things that you don't need that much in your kitchen to give you this kind of emotion at the end. When you do a salad, just take a few leaves on top of your salad. And that's enough.
And you know it's travelled a matter of metres rather than thousands of kilometres. A message, speaking of herbs, from Jess saying, whenever I plant mint, it attracts worms that eat up the leaves. I've tried getting rid of them with off-the-shelf organic pesticide, but the worms keep coming back, eat up and destroy my plants. There are no worms in any other part of my garden. How can I get rid of it using something safe for pets and kids?
So we do some organic pesticides with the neem oil, with some herbs, garlic. We have our own recipe that we use at the farm, and we use that at the last as a last solution. The most important is to work with the ecosystem. So many bugs can balance your system. The issue is when you spray those chemicals, you're gonna kill all the bugs, the good one and the bad one. I don't like to use the word bad, but they are part of the ecosystem. So we have good bugs, let's say ladybugs, and the bad aphids. The ladybugs, if you spray the chemicals, the pesticide, you're going to kill all of those. And the first one coming back are the aphids, of course. And so you need to wait some time or accept to lose it and start again to plant.
Right. I hope your energy levels are good because we've got a lot of questions. How do you feel about a little quick fire round from the text line? Are you ready for some quick fire
questions?
Yes,
of course, please.
Okay,
please.
Question here. Marlon's saying, can we visit the farm?
Not yet. We are just finishing some maintenance things, and we should. We are looking for land as well to open in the desert in the city. So the idea is to create more symbiosis between the urban farm and the farm that we have in the desert.
Now, you do, interestingly, and I might avail of your services, you do consulting when it comes to people's gardens. And I know you've done bigger projects like Arbor School and the rooftop garden at Nikhil Mall and working with the guys at Trinstein Studio. But if anyone is looking to kind of, I guess, get some guidance, that's something that you guys can help with as well.
Exactly. We only this week, we have more than 6 or 7 bookings for consultations.
So come to the house, look at the space, talk about what you can grow there.
Exactly. We give you 2 hours. For 2 hours, we're going to check the area and adapt to your needs. Like whatever you ask, we're going to try to do our best to support you.
Mm, there you go. If you want details, by all means, do get in touch. No name on this one saying, can I grow avocados in the Dubai weather?
Aha, that's a really good question. And a lot of people are asking that, actually. We are in a very hard with environment, and grow avocados here in the desert is not appropriate. You're going to need 5 years before to get the first fruit. And so imagine that the huge amount of water you're going to spend to grow this.
Cheaper to go to Spinney's. Well, it's funny, we grew our first tomatoes and my little face was like, it's taken us, I don't know how many weeks, and I don't want to think about how much we spent on water and how much time and love to get one little tomato, but it was so pleasing.
Exactly. Tomatoes are three to four months. So imagine that's already a lot, but good for the season. We have a quite big season here. Winter season is quite big. So we should go for easy things to grow, easy things to produce, and not put the target.
Resources.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a no-no for the avocado, though. Vicky's saying, I saw a video on YouTube that showed when you cut the end off a spring onion and don't throw away the hard bit, instead put the base in some water, it will grow again. I tried it and it worked. What other vegetables could we regrow from cuttings or the ends? Good question.
Yes, we do have. We use this technique as well at the farm for the pineapples. So we can do a lot of things like that, but the best is still to start from the seed. The seed is going to take time to grow the root system, to establish a very strong system with the soil, then grow the plant. It will be healthy. For example, you can do that with the carrots as well. Mm-hmm. Many people were showing that you put the carrot on the water and start to grow again. Actually, the best is quick, faster, stronger, is to start from the seed, to have a good seeds and plant the seed straight away.
Please forgive my ignorance. What is a good seed?
we started to go my farm with only heirloom seeds. So we are not using GMOs. Those seeds are able to, you are able to take the seeds from a production and plant again the next season. You're going to get the same variety. So it's not a hybrid. Mm-hmm. So it's a pure heirloom, the heritage seeds that the seeds were used from the beginning of our story.
Wow.
So those have the capacity to adapt in a hot desert environment. So we use that naturally.
And as you said earlier, you've got over 1,000 different varieties of seed there at my farm. So really, I love the idea of it becoming a bit of a community and people bringing you seeds and it becoming part of your library, I suppose. It's lovely. Okay, we're going to help out Emmanuel, who said, any advice for rescuing a very sad moringa plant? Our nanny loves it and is trying her best. Now, moringa is, I'm never sure about the phrase superfood, but it is incredibly good for you. Is it something you're familiar with?
Exactly. Moringa is going to feed your system with almost all the minerals and vitamins that are required. So that's a very, very good tree. And you can use it on top of your salad. Some people dry the leaves and use it as a powder.
Really?
Yes, that's really good for your health. You can use it and put it in the juices, whatever you want.
I never thought about it using it as like a kind of like a micro leaf. I always think, I mean, our nanny loves it as well, and she puts it in kind of curries and stir fries and uses it, I guess, like a kind of spinach kind of substitute.
Exactly.
What about rescuing a sad one?
We spoke about the soil first. The soil is really important. You need to feed your soil before to feed the tree or the plant itself. You need to think about if the soil is almost balanced or not. If the soil is not, if you never fed the soil, you need to think about to use a compost and start to spray some compost around it. Do like a pool around it and give water. The soil, the compost with the nutrients are going down deeper on the root system and give like a boost to the tree.
We've got a question here from Annabelle saying, do you sell the seeds? Do you sell the seeds?
We sell the seeds only, the seeds that we tested and we approved for many years. And we give how works the farm. We do have a seed bank. The seed bank will be used first for the farm itself. The extra seeds are going to be shared on the website. And you, those seeds are tested and on the hard conditions. So we're going to share with you only the one which work. We are not here to sell you what you want. We are here to sell you what works.
Otherwise, you're going to be getting the angry emails. You sold me lettuce seeds. Marjan saying, I tried to grow a papaya tree from seeds. I never had any success with the tree itself. Sorry, I have had success with the tree itself, but never bore any fruit. The trees were more than 7 feet in height, all green, looked healthy, and they all started dying one fine day. What could be the reason, and any help to grow papayas?
Of course, we grow papaya. We do have two varieties of papaya at the farm from Thailand. One is working really well. The red one, it's like up to 20 to 30 kilo per tree, which is huge. And you should see how we do that. I mean, it's not using a lot of energy, a lot of water. We have only the drip system, so in a good soil. And this is very, very efficient. For this case, you need to know and be sure where the seeds are coming from. Most of the people that are using the seeds from the fruits coming from the market, they buy papaya from the market, they cut it, they have seeds, and they plant it, and they wait a long time to this. You need to be sure at the beginning that those seeds are not hybrids, or else they might not give you fruits. That's the way to protect the variety.
Here's a question. And because we're running out of time. We're not running out of questions, though. If we're going to do anything this weekend to start growing for the very first time, what do we need and what do we need to do, Mohammed?
So we need to think about the plant. The plant needs water, soil, air, light. And the last I like to say that
is it love? Is it love, singing?
Exactly.
Do you talk to your plants?
So you see, not really.
Just think how much papaya you could be cultivating if you broke into song like King Charles.
I believe that the birds are doing better than us. Exactly. So
love is the last one.
Exactly. So we need to build this system. If you remove water, nothing gonna happen. If you remove the nutrients, nothing gonna happen, etc. So you need to create a balanced system and understand that if you put too much water, you're gonna remove the nitrogen from the soil. Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of asphyxiate the root system. It's gonna need to smell and the plant die. So try to check and to understand your area, your place. Don't think that I'm going to give you the solution because your place is different than your neighbors. The wind, the sun, the shade, test. I will only suggest you to try again until you're going to find the solution.
And last question, we're talking about kitchen gadgets. Is there any garden gadget or bit of equipment that you think that you love that you couldn't live without?
Aha, for me, the irrigation.
Really?
The irrigation system is something like, you know, you can leave the garden for weeks and come back and see, like, at the end. By the way, my personal garden is the worst one. You know,
this is like the cobbler's children are never wearing shoes.
I leave it for months, and sometimes I just go back to it and harvest only. So that's things that, you know, the irrigation system allowed you to do, or else.
Mohammed, thank you so, so much.
Thanks to you, Ellen.
No, my pleasure. A lot of people asking for details. It is myfarmdubai.com. As we said, you can buy seeds on there. You can also find out more about the consulting. And fingers crossed, we'll be able to visit the farm very soon. Yes?
Yes.
Will you let us know?
Yes, of course. We'll post on social media.
You're a superstar. Thank you so,
thank you,
so much.
Thank you for the interview.
Joining us from My Farm to answer my questions and yours. We're delighted to be joined there by Mohammed, the CEO of My Farm.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Can't believe it. We're coming to the end of September, which means October is just around the corner, because that's the way the months go. And that means Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I know it's going to be an incredibly busy calendar for many people, but we want you to mark your days for some very special events that are coming up. And joining us in the studio now is the CEO, co-founder of Ignite, Guillaume. Now, Guillaume, we have met before. I don't think you'll remember it, but I think you almost made me cry during a boot camp about 10 years ago.
Yes, Helen.
No remorse.
That was back when I had hair.
that. Yeah, it was back when I had energy. But I am welcoming you back to the studio with open arms, because after a bit of a hiatus, shall we say, over the last couple of years, you guys are reconnecting with your passion for raising money for breast cancer awareness with Pink is Punk. Now, tell us a little bit about the history of this. Is there a reason why you and the guys at Ignite are really passionate about this cause?
Yes, Helen. First of all, thank you very much for having me on the show.
You are more than welcome.
So my grandmother passed away from breast cancer. So for me, that was not meeting someone that could have had a very big, role model, for instance, in my life. I now have two girls, little girls. But before that, I think we've all got special females that are part of our lives. So I wanted to, one, because I had this reason from my grandmother, but I was thinking to myself that we're all touched in some way with females. We need to find a way to raise awareness and funds to support them with this constant issue of breast cancer, or whether it be cancer. So that's how I launched the campaign.
This is going back quite a few years now. And how much money have you raised since then? Have you been totting it up?
Yeah, look, we've raised over 850,000 dirhams for the campaign. Now, look, I've lived in Dubai for 20 years, so I'm pretty sure some people may remember the Bergerman Walkathon.
Mm-hmm.
So this started very organically, where when I was running the boot camps, I asked people that attended the boot camps if their companies would sponsor the T-shirts. I charged them a humble 2,000 dirhams. And all the money that came in from people attending the boot camps went to the Red Crescent back then, which was with the Bergerman. And then people joined me for the walk. We did that for a few years. And then in 2009, I thought, wow, I want to name this campaign. So I then named it Pinkies Punk, as in, if you support breast cancer, it's cool. It was, again, just doing it through classes. And then in 2011, we had the inauguration of the swim run. That went really well. We ran it for 2 years. And then in the third year, I then started to add more things to the campaign, which was a fun run. We added the moonlit yoga. And in 2019, before COVID hit, we ran the pink paddle.
So all three are back for October.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been a very challenging few years, like I'm sure everyone will attest to. But I am super, super proud that so many partners and sponsors are backing us again, because we're bringing the program back in its full strength.
So these are events where, and I just want to have a bit of a. I'm going to abuse my platform on the microphone. I've had so many press releases over the last couple of weeks talking about breast cancer awareness, and a lot of it seems to be, we are doing an afternoon tea with pink drinks, and I'm like, no, or we are doing whatever it might be, but no mention of where the proceeds are going, if anywhere. And I think there is an awful lot of kind of bandwagon jumping from lots of corporations, and it's so refreshing to hear about people who are so transparent, saying this is, and you guys, this is not profit, all proceeds going to Al Jalila Foundation. And you even do the giant check photo, which I think, I mean, who doesn't love a giant check? For anyone that is thinking, okay, where, why, how, tell us a little bit about each of those three. So the run, swim.
Sure. So it's at an Antara hotel on the Palm. Now, there are multiple events for the swim run. There's a 600-meter swim and a 3-kilometer run inside the beautiful hotel. Now, that's for individuals or teams. There is also a fun run, which is a 3-kilometer run within the hotel. And then there's a junior category, which is under 17s, which is a 200-meter swim and an 800-meter run. And it's the same for under 12s. Now, we've got a lot of schools following that, which is fantastic. That's on the 8th. On the 10th of October, there is a moonlit yoga. Beautiful.
That sounds more my vibe. I can't run a bath, Guillaume. So if it's more stretching under the moonlight, that sounds much more my thing. So this is on the 10th, October 10th.
Very, very zen, and it's picturistic. The surroundings with the signature villas on the Palm. It's beautiful. And then there's the one that, I mean, I love them all. There's the pink paddle. So we just want you to be outrageously dressed in pink. If you don't have enough pink, we'll give you a pink wig. We want to make it very light. It's not a competition. People just go out in waves on stand-up paddleboards. And if people tell me they want a kayak, I'll give them a kayak. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll go around for about 45 minutes. This is at Riva Beach Club. We'll be playing music on the water whilst they're doing that. And when they come back, they can engage with all the fantastic partners that we have that just want to give them freebies because they're aligned with the ethos of this campaign. And we just want to say thank you for people for taking the time to pledge their support and help raise funds.
I love the idea of this. Caro saying how to register. Good question. You can go to Ignite's website, ignite.ae, and on there under events, it says Pink is Punk. And then within there, you have the three events we've just been talking about. You can click through there to the Premier Online website and book there. Now, tell us a little bit. We've got a number in mind, how much you'd like to raise. Come on.
Look, we raised 124,000 dirhams, just shy of 124,000 dirhams in the last campaign. It would be an unbelievable legacy piece. And just to show that, you know, COVID didn't hold us back, to say that we came back after 2 years and we raised over 124,000. I mean, I don't know what I would do if we did, you know what I mean? I'd probably cry a lot.
maybe we should get you to claim something on the radio. If you raise over 124,000, Guillaume, would you do a dance on the paddleboard wearing a pink wig? You'll probably be doing that anyway on the paddle day.
Yeah, I'll probably be doing that a lot more.
We will think of something. But Guillaume, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your passion. Because I think a lot of us want to do good, we just don't really know how. And I think the fact that we know to do with lifestyle factors, endorphins with exercise, it all comes back to feeling good, feeling healthy, and helping women fight the good fight. You won't see me running, but you might get me on a paddleboard.
Fantastic.
Guillaume, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. Guillaume speaking to us from Ignite Fitness.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
October's just around the corner, which means Global Village is soon to be back for its 27th season. Lots of entertainment for every single age group. And to find out more, Sean Connell, the Director of Entertainment at Dubai Holding Entertainment, joining us live. Sean, thank you for sparing the time. I know things are really busy in the run-up to opening the gates. How are you?
Do you know what? I'm really well. How are you?
I'm well. Now, I make no secret of being a massive Global Village fan. Massive. Because, and I'll tell you why, I don't even know how many times I've been, but I seem to have a completely different experience every single time I go because it's so huge. So sometimes like, okay, tonight we're going to, you know, do some rides and eat Bosnian food. And next time we're going to go shopping and, you know, have to have a little stroll along the floating market. You know, it just seems to, depending on your mood or who you're with, just something for everyone. And that phrase is used a lot, but I do think that's particularly pertinent to you guys at Global Village. So the key question right now is, when exactly are those gates opening?
Okay, October the 25th. I actually should have preceded that with a drum roll, shouldn't I?
Yeah. There you go.
There you go, yeah. October the 25th. And we're gonna go large all the way to April 2023. So, yeah, let's do
Fantastic. Now, for anyone who might be new to Dubai or hasn't taken a trip to Global Village yet, if an alien just arrived here in Dubai and they're like, what are these signs for Global Village? How do you describe it as a bit of an insider? How would you tell people what to expect?
That's a tough question. Listen, I think we're very unique. We're a homegrown brand. You come and you can eat, as you say, from cuisines from all over the globe. There's shopping, there's dining. Wherever you're from, whatever age you are, and whatever you're into, we pretty much guarantee we've got something that will, you know, get you excited.
Tickle your fancy. Let's talk entertainment, because I know you've been working on a lot of things behind the scenes over the summer and even before that to give us some really exciting lineup. So what have you got in store? Because as we said, something for everyone, from little ones all the way through to adrenaline junkies. What are you excited about, Sean?
We have a resident international cast of over 100. So we produce big shows onto them. Listen, we're a family destination, so we try and make sure that our entertainment appeals to the too cool for school, to the kids, to the families, to the mums, to the dads, everything. So we've got some amazing shows on the main stage. We obviously have our favourites on the kids' theatre. We have, you know, Peter Rabbit and Care Bears and Ben and Holly. We've got some good comedy stuff coming, some good street stuff coming. And of course, the big favourite is the stunt show,
yes,
which is bigger and better this year. We love the stunt show. We're going to bring back the monster truck. We've increased the amount of stuff that we set fire to because we like to set fire to stuff.
And obviously, in a controlled environment.
Yes, of course, yes. Anyone from HSC is listening, it's great. It's fine.
Safety first, yes.
Always. And we're obviously, you know, we have a man jumping off an 80-foot pole or tower into a 9-foot deep pond. And also, just to, because that doesn't sound too difficult, we set him on fire.
What fun. I mean, can you imagine this being your job? Just saying, yeah, I'm just off to go and live in Dubai and I'm going to be a stunt person. I'm going to be a gymnast. I'm going to be a performer. I love the idea of you having this kind of core crew of entertainers that are there at Global Village for the season. And then you bringing in people internationally as well. Tell us about some of the guests you're bringing over for some shows.
Yeah, what we do is obviously we have all these amazing shows, but we like to, every now and then, we like to spice it up a little bit. So we bring in some international content. I think some of the big ones this year is we have a group called The Unbeatable. And I hope quite a few people will know that is they won America's Got Talent, the champions, in 2020. So that's a 40-strong Indian kind of street dance crew. We have Urban Crew coming from the Philippines. They've been with us before.
Yeah, they were great.
We love them. Quarterfinals, semifinals of America's Got Talent this year. And we have Iyanjar, who you have to come and see. And this is a street drumming crew, 30 of them, some 10 of them from Mexico, 10 of them from Colombia.
Wow.
But you've never seen anything like it. These guys are amazing.
The
so
energy.
Yeah, very excited to have them. Yeah.
Oh, this sounds incredible. Now, here's the thing. When planning a trip to Global Village, are performances happening every night? Is it once a week? You know, because you want to make sure you're going to be getting the most out of a trip. On average, how many shows or performances are going on at any kind of given time throughout the week, Sean?
7 days a week. Stunt show is 6 days a week, but the main stage, the kids' theatre, the street stuff is 7 days a week. The stages generally go live about 4:30. Park opens at 4:00, mm-hmm. and we generally finish midweek. We kind of finish the entertainment at 11:30. At the weekends, we finish it at 1 a.m. But yeah, I mean, there are shows in the 27 pavilions. We have a bit of a phrase, and that is something around every corner to make you smile. If you come to Global Village and you spend more than half an hour at Global Village and you haven't bumped into some form of entertainment, I have not done my job.
How did you get into this, Sean? Tell us about your background, because you are the producer, the curator, the director. As you say, putting smiles on people's faces. This sounds like a dream job.
Yeah. No, I can't remember. I've been doing it quite a long time. I know I don't sound old, but I am. No, I'm not. I've been doing it quite a long time. No, I got into theatre in the UK and discovered that, you know, this is amazing. And also the good thing about entertainment is you don't have to get up in the morning. This was the main motivation.
Nocturnal.
Exactly right. So, yeah, it's good fun.
Well, I have to say, I'm really excited about the upcoming season. As I said, it's the 27th. So this enduring popularity of Global Village. Can I ask you a personal question, if you don't mind?
Go for your life.
Given how much time you spend there, what are some of your personal favourite things to eat? Because as I said, there's always new things to discover. And I never plan it well enough to be able to enjoy everything. So if people are going to be coming, we're going to get our tickets for the shows. We're going to do a bit of shopping. But what is the insider's top picks on the food front, Sean?
You see, you've probably asked the wrong person that question because I am a pudding monster. you know, there's all these fantastic main meals and all these amazing street food, but I go straight to the train market, which is over by the amazing Funfair. I go straight to the train market and I work my way through. Yes, I'll take the waffles and the next day I'll take the pancakes and the day after that it's a pistachio-flavoured ice cream. You see, this is my thing.
I couldn't be happier with that answer, to be honest. I think if we're going to... I'm a firm believer that we should start doing our own kind of personal guides to Global Village. And I would do, like, this is where I buy my Turkish towels. And this is, I know I've said it before, the Bosnian house kebabs. But everyone has their own lens, their own experience. And you could do Sean's dessert tour. I'd get on that train. I think that sounds fantastic. Well,
all day. Let's do it.
I will do it. As you say, say opening the doors in less than a month, go back to those rehearsals, that planning and all the things that you guys are working on so hard behind the scenes. Really appreciate your time. Really excited to see what's in store. And I can't wait to tell the kids you've got Ben and Holly and Peter Abbott. They're going to absolutely squeal. So thank you. Really do appreciate it. And all the very best to the team. You're a superstar.
Thank you so much.
Speak to you soon. Sean speaking to us from Global Village. Sean Cornell there. He is, what a job, Director of Entertainment at Dubai Holding Entertainment. So lots to look forward to, and make sure we keep it on Dubai Eye 103.8 as we tell you what's going to be unfolding over that season. And thank you for downloading this episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe. You'll get direct to your phone as soon as it's out. And you can listen to me live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Monday to Friday between 2 and 5pm.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.